Hey guys, it is morning time for me, so I'm going to say good morning. Good to see you, even if it is evening or afternoon for you. I am currently reading through the book of 1 Timothy, which isn't very long, but it takes me a while to read, actually, by the time I take notes and highlight things. Yes, I am one of those people that highlights things in my Bible. I actually, shout out, just got a Bible from the Daily Grace Company, and they have like nice little journaling space on the side. So this might be my stay-at-home Bible, so that I can write all my fun notes on the side. Anyway, in 1 Timothy, what I'm currently reading, I made it to chapter 4, which is the chapter that many people know from 1 Timothy, from children's ministry all the way to adulthood, but particularly in children's ministry and youth ministry, because of the famous verse. It's going to read in the ESV in 1 Timothy 4:12, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." And I actually like all the verses that come after the famous memory verse, but I found this just really interesting because I have use this verse to encourage young people before. It's something that, you know, I've experienced being taught in children's ministry. And at the same time, the way that it plays out in the life of the church, I don't always look at, if I'm just going to be completely bluntly honest, I don't always think of children or youth as the one setting the example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. A lot of times we think, oh, we're the ones that are going to teach them how to be these things, and they'll eventually get it. Well, I think part of that is when this verse is being said to Timothy, he's not like totally a baby, but rather he's kind of mature in his faith, more so than a lot of the adults that have come before him in the church. And so I just wanted to open up this verse a little bit and unpack it, and then encourage you, especially if you are in that, I don't think I have many high schoolers, if any, that are listening to this, but especially those that are in the young adult phase of life, or maybe even you are a younger Christian and you're just learning what all of the Jesus stuff is. I just felt really compelled for me to talk through some of my thoughts on this. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to publish this too and let y'all listen. So here we go. If you actually go back in 1 Timothy, Paul is pretty harsh about some of the people who have gone before Timothy as a leader, some of the older dudes that have been leading the church. If you go back all the way to chapter 1, he says the aim of our charge in verse 5, "The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons..." So, you know, certain people, those people, "by swerving from these things, the good conscience and sincere faith, have wandered away into vain discussion." That automatically makes me think like Facebook or all the political arguments that don't really go very far between people. "So certain persons, by swerving from these things, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law, without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions." So Paul's basically saying their teaching sucks. Like, they don't even understand what they're talking about. They're distracted by all of these other topics, all these other things they can be engaging with. If you jump down to verse 19, it says, "By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are," he's like, I'm going to call out some names that hopefully I can pronounce, "Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme." And I wrote in the journal section of my Bible, dang, to be able to say, like, these people who are in the church and teaching, they're so far off, I just handed them over to Satan. I'm not even going to try with them anymore. But, you know, that puts into context, like, there's some of these older dudes in the church that, you know, when it comes to their family life, when it comes to the conversations they're having, because Paul goes into what a family life should look like for a deacon and for an elder, that, you know what, they're not getting it right. And Timothy here, who is much more pure of heart, has had sound doctrine, somebody that Paul trusts and is poured into, he recognizes that his age could be a factor among these guys when it comes to teaching, preaching, and practicing his gifts. But the thing is that he has a great trust in this younger person and an ability to set an example to these guys that are just not getting it. So when it comes to the phrase, the verse that says, "Let no one despise you for your youth," he understands that that can be a hurdle for Timothy. Timothy is a younger and greener leader, but a lot has been poured out into him. And yet for him to grow as a leader, he has to fully walk out in the things that have been poured into him in terms of doctrine and in terms of gifts. And actually the verse that really got to me as I was reading this morning was past verse 12. It says in verse 13, "Until I come," Paul referring to himself, "devote yourself to public reading of scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." Verse 14 says, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers." I just find this part of this chapter so fascinating in that, yes, Timothy has this hurdle in the eyes of other leaders to say, man, this guy is really young. And how often do we kind of look at the playing field of those who are leaders around us, those who are, I'm going to widen the spectrum a little bit. If you go to your job or you're starting to pursue a dream, entrepreneurship, and you're like, wow, there's so many more experienced people out here than me. There's so many more people who are older than me, who have been doing this longer than me. And here I am, just leading green. I'm a very young leader, or I'm very inexperienced, but I still have the education. You know, I still have what somebody else has poured into me. I've done the reading, I've done the training. But when I look at the playing field, somehow that intimidates me, that I don't really want to move forward, or I'm hesitant in using the gifts that I have. But the truth is that your gifts are not going to grow if you don't practice using them. And so that's my main encouragement today, that Timothy is looking at the playing field of all the leaders, and it's like Paul is saying, do not worry about them. You know what? They might be older, they might be more experienced, they might have been around longer than you, but they've been messing up. When you look at their family lives, when you look at the discussions that they're in, when you look at their teaching, it's not even good. They're doing things like spitting on people's faces. I'm sorry, that was really uncalled for with Pastor Mike Todd. I actually appreciate the work in the kingdom that he does. But they're doing teaching, these particular leaders, that is not congruent, is not actually like good doctrine for what God has set in his word and through the life and teachings of Jesus. And Paul entrusts Timothy of like, you now set the example. You've been poured into, you might be young, you might be new, but set the example. He has faith in the leader that he has poured into and trained up. I'm going to read one more time of, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress." See, the thing is that Paul isn't asking Timothy to be perfect right away, not to be the most brilliant speaker To suddenly be this superstar of a leader that comes out and they're young and they're a prodigy either. Because I think sometimes we have a little bit of that instant fame sort of mentality that I want to come out the gate and automatically be seen as, wow, look at what they're doing. They are clearly, they deserve this many followers. They're going to just be a viral sensation. But Paul doesn't put that expectation on this young new leader. He says, let them see your progress. And is that good enough for us sometimes? That when we put something new out there, when we practice our gifts, when we lead a Bible study, when we, as much as I'm not a huge fan of social media in many ways, when you put something out on social media that God is speaking to you, when you attempt to teach the word, are you okay with the fact that it might not be perfect? That it might not be up to the standard that you have in your mind or that you have seen from really great teachers or those in your field? Are you okay with people just being able to see your progress? And is that enough? Because the truth is, I just think it's such a lie, the idea that somebody comes out the gate and, wow, if it's good, it'll become viral. And if it's not, you know, nobody's going to watch you. In the life and body of the church, especially if we take things off of social media, what I love to see within leaders is those who take the moments to teach and disciple, to exhort, to encourage others in person, and to practice that gift that God has given. And know that it's not going to come out perfect. I feel like nothing I do comes out perfect. I still feel like a young leader in many of the things that I am learning too. But if I don't immerse myself in trying, if I don't immerse myself in learning and practicing the gifts God has given me, then nobody ever sees even progress. And progress then can't be made. So that way, you know, God can really get some glory out of my gifts. Because the other thing is that, you know, I think that there's a lie to the idea that somebody who's just amazing out the gate, you know, that God's going to get glory out of that. He does. I'm thinking this out loud now. He'll get some glory. But I feel like where God gets the most glory is where people can see your weaknesses. They can see your faults. And see how God worked through those things of, wow, you know what? She wasn't a very confident speaker before, but she kept going and she kept praying and she kept letting God use her. And wow, who she is now versus to who she was back then, I can see how God changed her heart. I can see how God touched her thinking. I can see how God trained her tongue to be able to speak in a way that is gentle or that is kind or that is powerful. People need to see the progress in you because that's where they get to see God actually at work versus thinking you did it all on your own and then you are the one that gets all of the glory. Even if we do say all glory to God, there's something much more powerful when people see God's work in your weaknesses than in your supernatural ability just to have, bam, superhuman strength. Because that's often what leads to the vanity and to being able to teach only out of our own strength versus letting God really inform what he wants to be said to his people. And so I'll end with this, that this is all important because in verse 16, it says, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching, because Timothy has the gift of teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. I think this is such a great verse for people who teach and who preach, that keep a close watch on what we teach, on the doctrine of it, on what we're saying about God, what we're saying about his people, what we're saying about who he is and what he's done. Let it be true to who he is, because it will save us as the one teaching, which I just think is phenomenal, because pretty much any time that I go to preach something, I'm like, shoot, that word is for me pretty much 100% of the time. But also, keep going, because even in your progress, even in your imperfections, even with you practicing your gifts, you're going to save both yourself and your hearers, those who hear you, those who are watching you. And if we go back to verse 4:12, you are setting an example for some of the believers who maybe have grown a little too stubborn or old, or have gone shipwreck in their faith. You're rewriting the course of their faith. You are redirecting them back to the type of teaching, the type of ministry, the type of love, the type of leading that God intended. And I'm going to go ahead and pray this little segment out. Father, thank you so much for each and every person who happens to listen to this today, wherever they're at in their faith and in their journey with you. Father, I thank you for every believer listening, that you have gifted them in some way, whether in teaching, in hospitality, administration, Lord, in the gifts of the Spirit in terms of prophecy, Lord God, in preaching, Lord. Father, you've gifted wisdom and discernment that isn't meant to be kept inside. So, Father, for all of these gifts and all these ways that you have gifted this listener today, Father, I pray that they wouldn't hold back their gift, that they wouldn't neglect it, that they wouldn't just put it on the shelf as something that you're going to use later, but they would start using it now, and that they would make the time to practice using it. Whether it's in writing, whether it's in speaking, whether it's searching right now for the opportunities of where to use their gift in their local church, Lord God. Where it is for them to practice their gift in their workplace, Lord God. Holy Spirit, would you just bring those ways to their heart right now that they are to pursue and persist in the gifts that you have given them, to practice them. And may they not be scared by the battlefield before them, or those who are more experienced before them. But Lord, would you settle in their heart that progress is better than nothing, that progress is where people actually get to see you work the most. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you know, man? How do you know, man? How do you know, man?